In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. The reading that the church gave us today at Mass is, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you." I'm going to keep on saying that because it's real. And we'll get back to the Acts of the Apostles. As the Father has loved Jesus, so Jesus has loved you. Oh God, send the Holy Spirit to convince your people. As the Father has loved Jesus, so Jesus has loved you. Send the wonderful Holy Spirit upon us, Lord. As the Father has loved Jesus, so Jesus has loved you. And there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Now, no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. You are precious in the sight of God, and He loves you. You are precious in the sight of God, and He loves you. As the Father has loved Jesus, so Jesus has loved you. Believe it. It's true. Holy Spirit, put it on our hearts. I'm looking at chapter 18 of the Acts of the Apostles. After these things, what things is he talking about? When Paul was in Athens and he just wanted to show scholarly work to these philosophers, and he only spoke about the resurrection. He didn't speak about the cross, and therefore he only had a few believers, not many. After these things, Paul departed from Athens, from that place, and came to Corinth. Now, Corinth was a seaport town, and many people came in and out of it. And I'm looking at Corinthians chapter 2. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." What is the testimony of God? "For I determined not to know anything among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified." You see, he learned. He learned that in Athens there were absolutely only a few converts, and he held from them the crucifixion, and he didn't do miracles. That's right, he didn't do miracles. So Paul says, "I am determined as I come to Corinth to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified." I tell you, preachers would just get that into their spirits, that they continue to proclaim the power of God in Jesus. He is the healing Jesus through His cross, burial, and resurrection. He is the forgiving Jesus through His cross, burial, and resurrection. He is the Father's Son who took on our sins on the cross. Oh yes, His name is Jesus. And Paul determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Why? Because in Athens, he did not preach the cross. He preached only the resurrection, and there were only a few converts. Paul wanted to kind of exercise his PhD. He had a PhD, you know what I'm saying, in the scriptures. He was taught by Gamaliel. He was a very bright man. And so now he has got all these scholars in front of him. And what does he talk about? The resurrection of Jesus. He did not talk about the cross. And he did not do miracles. And he lost the argument. They said, "Okay, Paul, we'll come back sometime to hear you again." They never came back. When people tell me that, you know, "I came, nothing happened, I'll be back again," you know, I know they're not coming back. People saying, you know, I think that I will come back, then you know they're going to come back. You can tell. You can tell. One lady came up to me last week who had a brain tumor, says, I'll be back again. And she had come 2 weeks in a row. I knew she'd be back. I knew she'd be back. Yes. Paul determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you, the Corinthian community, in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Oh my, this is Paul speaking the word of God. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words. You know, that's what he did in Athens. Enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I'm telling you, not only does he preach the cross, but because he preaches the cross, there is a demonstration of gifts of the Spirit that bring healing, demonstration of the Spirit and of power. We should be having that demonstration in every church that preaches the cross, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It is the will of God that people be healed, not only in their souls, but in their heads, in their hearts, in their lives. Yes, it is the will of God to heal. He said, signs like these shall follow those who believe. They shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall be healed. I'm telling you this. Paul didn't come with enticing words of man's wisdom, but he came in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. You see, when someone comes up and can't walk very well, and I pray with them, and they walk better, everybody's eyes are open. I said, come back, we want to pray again. And then they even walk better than that, and the eyes are open, because they're seeing in front of them the demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost, the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. They're seeing in front of them something happening, something that God's doing. It was not only in words, but it is in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yes. What is the power of God? The very cross, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Hallelujah. And the power of God came on Pentecost. They were together in one accord with Mary, the mother of Jesus, when the Holy Spirit came in power. We need that power, my friends. We need that power. That's not an extra. That's not an extra. You know, when I say extra, I think about hanging an ornament on a tree. That's not an extra. It's the tree itself. The tree that bears fruit 12 times a year in the power of the Holy Spirit. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. We speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world. You see, when he was in Athens, he was preaching the wisdom of this world, did not preach the cross. He was ashamed to preach the cross. Nor of the princes of this world that came to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. I tell you, it was not something that Jesus thought of, that he was going to die. This wisdom was ordained before the world unto our glory. It was the wisdom that happened before time began. Oh yes, Jesus crucified from the foundation of the world, which none of the princes of this world knew. For if they had known the wisdom, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Oh, yes. Not only does as the Father loves Jesus, so Jesus loves you, but eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. Do you love him? Do you love him today? Do you love him? Do you love Jesus? Have you told him, I love you, Jesus? Have you spoken to him and said to him, I love you, Jesus? I need you, Jesus. I want you, Jesus. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Oh, Jesus, I want to come into the things that you've prepared. I want these people to come into the things that you've prepared because, Lord, we want to tell you today, we love you. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit, searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man, and which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God. We need the Spirit of God to operate in power. But we also need the Spirit of God to live the Christian life. We cannot live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. It is a supernatural life. We need the Holy Spirit. We are in absolute need of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to us in our weakness as we call upon Jesus to baptize us in the Holy Spirit, to fill us with the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes, it happened to me in 1968. I was in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and I said to the Lord, you can have my whole life. And, oh, there was a river that broke in my heart. I knew nothing about a river. I knew nothing about the water that jumps up for eternal life. I knew nothing about that. I didn't know the Bible. I was a Catholic. I didn't read it very often. But I'm telling you, I experienced that river that Jesus spoke about in John 7, 37, 39. I experienced the river before I even knew there was a river. And it was the power of the Spirit. We need the power of the Spirit to operate so that we can live the Christian life, which is supernatural. Without the Spirit, we fall away. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, thank God, but the Spirit which is in God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but with the power of the Holy Spirit teaching, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Oh, yes, how many people would say to us, you're praying in tongues, you're just babbling. Oh, well, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. Oh, yes, even the things that happened at Medway, people would say, you know, even I said, this is all foolish, until the Lord showed me that there was hurt that the people bore in this place, and he wanted me to go and to pray with the people. Oh, yeah. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. They are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Paul says we have the mind of Christ. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit teaches us the things of God, the spiritual things of God. I tell you, eye hath not seen, and ear hath not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. Now we're going back to the Acts of the Apostles. Paul is just departing from Athens, and it says, after these things Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. Remember, he said, I decided to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified and the power of God that did the manifestation of the Spirit, that your faith would rest not on words, but on the power of God. So he goes to Corinth, and he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately came from Italy with his wife Priscilla. So this is a couple, Priscilla and Aquila, because Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. So they are in Corinth. And because he was of the same craft, Paul did what Aquila and Priscilla did. They were tent makers. Because they were of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. Yes, they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogues every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Again, Paul always goes to the synagogue first. Why? Because salvation is to the Jew first and then to the Greek or the pagan. So Paul goes to the synagogue in Corinth. And when Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. Hallelujah. He testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. I want to testify to Jew and Gentile today that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that he took upon himself our sins. He is the sin offering. He became sin for us. He is the Lord who destroyed sin by taking it on, destroyed the devil, destroyed the grave by taking it on, and he victoriously rose from the dead. Hallelujah. I want to proclaim to both Jew and Gentile that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Of the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, and you read it and you'll see it's all about Jesus, all about Jesus. It's Jesus is the Messiah. Isn't it wonderful to know that the Messiah has come? And hallelujah, he's coming again. He is coming again. That's right. He is coming in glory. And eye hath not seen, and ear hath not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, the Jews blasphemed, they wouldn't accept that Jesus was the Christ, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth, I'm going to the Gentiles. Yeah, but he always makes a trip to the synagogue. He never learns, but he learns because the gospel is to the Jew first and then to the Greek. And he departed from there and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined close to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord and all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. You see, Paul preach to the Jew and then to the Gentile. I'm telling you that God wants us to preach to the both Jew and Gentile. That's what I can do because I'm on the radio. I'm going to tell you, I think it's very awful for someone to go into a Jewish nursing home and stop preaching Jesus that these poor people can't even think or eat. No, you don't do it that way. That's not a loving way to do it. That's not a loving way to do it. You take people one at a time, and you love them first. You love them first. You visit them first before you're going to proclaim Jesus. And you do it one at a time. You don't do it to all these poor people that are caught in wheelchairs. No, that is not the loving way of proclaiming Jesus. You might find one person, and you might just begin to talk to her or to him and to learn about their families. And then you might say, you know, I am a Christian and I have accepted Jesus as my Messiah. You might say that maybe your fourth trip to them. but you don't go in and start preaching to people in wheelchairs. That is wrong. That is wrong. That is wrong. We want to love people. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. That's what Jesus says. It's all about the love of God. It's all about the love of God. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night vision. Oh, I need some night visions, Lord. Give the people night visions. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not your peace. Keep on talking, Paul. Keep on talking. Keep on talking. Keep on talking. For I am with you, and no man shall set on thee to hurt you. For I have much people, many people in this city. And he continued there in Corinth a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Let me tell you, he was there preaching a year and six months, and yet the Corinthians, when he left, start doing crazy things. And he writes to the Corinthians that they were taught in Christ, and why are they doing these crazy things? A man is sleeping with his mother-in-law. Crazy things. The gifts of the Spirit are not being used correctly. Crazy things after Paul leaves. And he was there a year and a half teaching and preaching the word of God among them. If he was only there for a couple of days, you can see how they could get sidetracked. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Steal what? Steal the word of God. That's what he comes to do, to steal the word of God. And when Gallio was deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat. So they were going to bring him to the judgment seat, saying, "This fellow persuades men to worship God contrary to the law." And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O Jews people, reason would I that I should bear with you. But it is a question of words and names and of your law. Look yourself, for I will be no judge on these matters." And he drove them out for the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him. Why? Because he became a Christian before the judgment seat. Today I want to think about Miriam Abraham, who is pregnant with the baby, who is in prison and will be hung from her neck because she is a Christian and she will not deny the Lord. She is a Christian. They want her to give their life to the Muslim way. And Miriam Abraham would not do that and will not do that. Jesus says, "If you declare me before the world, I will declare you before the angels of God." Hallelujah. So, Lord Jesus, we pray for Miriam Abraham. We pray for her unborn baby and the child that's with her. They're all in jail. We pray that this woman would be released. We pray that the blood of Jesus would break the chains of these people that are fanatical, and that this woman has the right to believe in Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, we pray for Miriam Abraham, that the Lord would just bless her in a mighty and extraordinary way. We pray that this would happen, Lord, through our prayers and through the prayers of everyone who's praying for Miriam Abraham and for her unborn baby and for her other child that's with her. This is evil. When you are forced to believe something, it's absolutely evil. I never force people to become Catholics. My problem is to preach the word of God. God is the one who makes Catholics. I don't make Catholics. I make Christians. And a Christian Catholic is wonderful. But I do not force people to become Catholic, even though I know it's the fullness of faith. I cannot force people. It is not my job to force people. Do you understand? God has to do that by revelation. By revelation, and that's the only way it happens. I have many Catholic converts because of the radio. I have many Catholic converts, but I do not make Catholic converts. It is the Spirit of God that does it. I just do the preaching, and God does the teaching from within. May His name be praised sacramentally. O sacrament most holy, O sacrament divine, all praise and all thanksgiving be every moment thine. O sacrament most holy, O sacrament divine, all praise and all thanksgiving be every moment thine. O sacrament most holy, O sacrament divine, all praise and all thanksgiving be every moment thine. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to thy word. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory is the only Son of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. I do need to hear from people so that we can pay our bills. Please help me to pay April's bills. I'm preaching and teaching, doing the best I can, in season and out of season. Please help me. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. If you received an envelope from us, please fill it up with what you have. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Praise and glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of glory on the cross, King of glory at the resurrection, King of glory, ascended into heaven. Praise and honor and glory be to Jesus Christ, who is the Lord and King of all creation. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.